What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Ryan Hernandez. How's it going, Ryan?
He's good. Yeah, just living life.
Living life?
Here at a discreet location.
We are at a discreet location. We are outside. We're one in nature right now. You could say we're men of the woods.
Yeah. We're lost in the woods.
Yeah. We're podcasting by a lake.
Yes. Very nice view, though.
Exactly. So we're not using Zoom. So if things sound a little bit different, we apologize. But right now we're outside. We're together. We're soaking in nature for this podcast. But it's a very special podcast. Why, Ryan? Yeah.
Well, because today we are going over Bash in Berlin, which was took place yesterday. And we are also finishing out our top WWE theme songs with our top 9 WWE themes.
Exactly. Yeah, Bash in Berlin last night was an incredible pay-per-view. Yeah, WWE has just done a masterful job at going to these countries and cities all over the world that have had very to little WWE shows in their past. And can you even explain how good the audience was last night, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. The audience was just, like, insane the entire time. They were on fire. They were just, like, they were in it, like, the whole night. Like, I remember during the main event, they started doing the wave.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy because I don't think I've ever seen the wave done at a WWE event.
No. Randy Orton was doing the wave at some point.
And Gunther was actually smiling.
Right. Good guy Gunther. Who'd think?
I know.
Who'd thought? If you had to give a Dave Meltzer star rating to this pay-per-view, what would you give? Or PLE. I'm an old-school fan, so I would say pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view, PLE, it's all the same.
Exactly.
I honestly think, like I said, I thought SummerSlam was, like, the perfect PLE. I thought SummerSlam was, like, a 10 out of 10. A Bash in Berlin, I'm going to give, like, a solid 9 out of 10, simply mm-hmm. just because I feel like the main event did drag on like a little bit, but for the most part, all matches were really good.
Exactly. I would 100% agree. I mean, this was an incredible pay-per-view. Like I said, Triple H, WWE, they've done a massive job at putting these PLEs together where they know that the crowd is going to be extremely hot. I mean, Randy Orton, he flew in his wife to be in the crowd of this pay-per-view because he knew the crowd was just going to be insane. But let's get into the card for a little bit. What was the first match? Let's see here.
The first match was the WWE Championship where we saw Cody Rhodes defend against Kevin Owens. And the story going into this match was, would Cody still have a friend afterwards? And we saw the two put on a classic match, and I'm not surprised we saw Cody retain the WWE Championship. And there was no Kevin Owens heel turn. I feel like a lot of people were expecting that, but
yeah,
it's kind of nice to see, and that the story they're playing out is that we're seeing a conflicted Kevin Owens. You know, we're like, people want to see the old Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens claims he's not that way anymore.
Right. It's really surprising that they didn't do a heel turn. We knew that Kevin Owens was going to lose his match. I don't think anybody was expecting Cody Rhodes to lose the championship at this pay-per-view. But the fact that Kevin Owens still hasn't turned, which we know is going to come, they're probably saving it for the first SmackDown on USA. You know, they want to load up that show. They want to build viewership for that show. So it doesn't surprise me that Kevin Owens lost, per se, but it's going to be expected that he's going to turn at some point, because during this match, the psychology of the match was, look at, he's not the way he used to be. If this was the old Kevin Owens, he would have been WWE champion by now.
Yeah.
You know, he would have done a dastardly thing to turn on Cody Rhodes. He would have, you know, stuck the knife in his back, and he would be champion.
Yeah, because we saw when Cody went for a Cody cutter and his knee buckled, KO looked at it, mm-hmm. but he couldn't follow through. He couldn't attack the knee.
Exactly.
And then he went for a power bomb on the side of the apron, but he couldn't get himself to do it.
Right.
In fact, Wade Barrett's like, "What are you doing? Where's that killer instinct?" And then we hear Kevin Owens say, "Shut up, you idiot."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so those moments cost Kevin Owens the match, really. And then you see Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes being buddy-buddy at the end of the match. And so you know something's going to come. They're going to have a second match, whether it's on the first SmackDown on USA or whether it's at Bad Blood in October.
We'll see, because Solo Sikoa said he got next.
Yeah. But honestly, nobody wants to see Solo Sikoa as a number one contender. Honestly, I don't want to go off on a rant on Solo Sikoa, but the more that they're putting him on television, they're trying really hard to book him as the new tribal chief. He's not believable in that role.
I think because who knows? Maybe on SmackDown he's like, "Oh, I want to cash in my opportunity for the WWE title," and then we see the OTC.
Yeah.
Come back with some help.
That's very possible, and I think you're probably going to get that on the first SmackDown on USA. But let's move on here. The second match on the card was Bianca and Jade versus Isla Dawn and Alba Fire for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships.
Yeah, and I think going into this match, everybody knew the outcome would be Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill win back the Women's Tag Team titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a pretty solid match, you know.
Yeah.
Not match of the night, but I definitely thought it was a solid match. Jade Cargill looks a lot more comfortable in the ring now.
She does. You can tell all that training she's been doing at the Performance Center is paying off.
Bianca Belair's truly showing off like her talent, and even Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they were like pulling out all the stops.
Exactly.
I thought and with how poorly the women's tag division has been booked, especially the women's tag team titles, I thought that was one of the better tag matches we saw.
Yeah, exactly.
A women's tag team title match.
The WWE women's tag team titles have been extremely cursed over the years. I'm writing a thing on, are the LA Clippers cursed? I should do another thing on the WWE women's tag team titles, because those titles have been extremely cursed over the years. And really, they've been in limbo at points. They've done nothing really of matter that matters with them. And so putting them on Bianca and Jade is just, it's something for them to do right now. But I think the ultimate thing where they want to go for this is WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. It's going to set up the inevitable heel turn. I think it would be nice if Bianca's the one to turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to admit, she's getting pretty stale as a babyface. And she's done it all as a babyface.
Yep.
And because I know when she was in NXT, she was a heel. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen that on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be interesting to see a heel Bianca Belair.
I think so, too. I really do think so. And plus, you can play up the fact that Bianca is being jealous, is jealous over all the attention that Jade is getting, even though Bianca has been the one that's been training her. You know? So you can definitely play up that story. But Bianca and Jade are new tag team champions for the women's division. All right, moving on. I think, I would have said match of the night, but then Randy Orton Guther happened. But CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre
blew their SummerSlam match out of the water. And believe me, their SummerSlam match was great. But their match last night at Bash in Berlin was just like, man, they dialed it up a notch. Mm-hmm. And like, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, CM Punk's washed, he doesn't got it anymore. No. That match proved CM Punk can still go at a high level, and that match showed that CM Punk is still a main event caliber guy. Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And for everyone that's saying CM Punk was, you know, it was going to be a problem in WWE, that he wasn't going to last, that he has been injury prone over the last few years. You can't deny that. He's had some very bad luck with injuries. But the guy is, I mean, he's on top of his game right now since coming back from the triceps tear.
And I don't think he's ever been happier. And the fact he's only a month out from recovering from the torn triceps, and he's had two matches, and they both were really stellar matches. It looked like the CM Punk of old.
Well, yeah, they're taking their time with CM Punk. They're not throwing him out there every week in matches. But last night, damn, he looked great. He looked good. His body looks good. He held up very well in the ring. And I think he's, after Randy Orton now, we're going to get to that later, but I think he's, you know, after this Drew program, he's definitely in line for a world title match, and maybe that's going to be the world title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we'll see. I apparently, in a in a backstage interview after Punk did say he's going after Gunther in the World Heavyweight Championship. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll see what Drew has to say in response to that.
You know this thing is not over yet.
It's not over.
They're 1-1 right now. Drew won the first one at SummerSlam. CM Punk won this one here at Bash in Berlin. So you know this has to go to a rubber match at Bad Blood. I keep wanting to call it Hell in a Cell. Yesterday we were talking, and I kept saying, like, oh, when is Hell in a Cell? Like, because for years the pay-per-view was called Hell in a Cell. Now it's Bad Blood. And he goes, no, it's Bad Blood.
But I think we will see a Hell in a Cell match. I think that's how Punk Drew wins inside Hell in a Cell.
Exactly.
And I know you were saying how what route can they go to extend the feud, and you actually gave a really good idea. I don't know if you want to share it with the viewers, but
yeah, exactly. I think, look, this feud still has some life in it, but they're gonna have to do some things to really take this thing to the next level if you want to extend it to October. You really have to go all in with this thing, not to give a AEW shout out or anything, but you really have to go all in for this feud if you really want to drag it out. So what I'm suggesting is, since you've already seen the relationship with, you know, them displaying the relationship between AJ Lee and CM Punk, them being married on television, they're acknowledging it, you've seen the bracelet stuff, as ridiculous as it was, it worked kind of. Now you gotta go all in with this. You gotta have Drew McIntyre just be so distraught that he lost to CM Punk that he goes in and breaks into their house, to AJ Lee's and CM Punk's house. And Larry, the poor dog Larry, breaks into their house and fucks with them. And that's how you get this match, a blood feud, all the way to Hell in a Cell. And book that match at Bad Blood in October. That's how you get there. If you really want to put some extra squeeze on this feud, just get it all together and give the fans something really, a match that they can really clamor for, that's how you do it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And so now we move on to the fourth match of the night, which was the mixed tag team match, which we saw the Terror Twins, Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest.
What are their names?
The Terror Twins.
Oh, that's, I said the Terror Twins. Like, no, Terror.
The Terror Twins. Yeah, the Terror Twins. We saw Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest defeat the Judgment Days, Liv Morgan, and Dirty Dominic Mysterio in what I thought was a pretty solid match. I thought it was well booked. We saw Liv pull out some moves we never seen her do before. I think Liv really is starting to make a name for herself and come out of her shell.
Definitely. She's improved so much. Since we saw her, I remember when she won the title from Ronda Rousey 2 years ago. I mean, nobody believed that she was world champion caliber.
And now look at her.
Yeah.
She's like the most menacing female on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, I mean, those two, her and Dirty Dom, they have tremendous chemistry together. And you've seen how these things kind of play up in real life when wrestlers get booked together. I don't know. There might be something there. But Rhea and Damian Priest, they have tremendous chemistry as well. We'll see what's next for these guys. I don't know if they can squeeze too much out of this feud that's going on, you know, currently still. So
maybe we get a certain Yeet involved.
How so?
Well, you know, it's the Judgment Day is, what, 5v2?
Yeah.
And say, you know, you have, because you have, what, JD, Carlito, Dom, and Finn?
Yeah. Well,
that's four men. But say if you take out one of them and need, like, a third.
I don't know, man. I think they're saving Jey Uso for the Bloodline story on SmackDown. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, tremendous match. But the main event, that's why people were there. This whole crowd, this whole atmosphere was based off the main event for the World Heavyweight Championship. World champion Gunther defending his title against 14-time world champion, the Legend Killer, the Viper, Randy Orton. And man, the crowd was just electric for
especially
this match.
Especially in what was considered a homecoming for Gunther. Because even though he was born and built from Austria, he spent most of his wrestling career in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a true homecoming from him. And we saw a side of Gunther we've never seen before.
Exactly.
We saw Gunther actually taking in the mm-hmm. crowd.
Yep.
We saw Gunther actually, like, have a smile on his face. Like, I don't know if they're planning a face turn for Gunther, but I feel like they were testing the waters a little bit with the babyface Gunther.
I think so too. I think we can have a tremendous babyface on our hands at some point. You know, Gunther is an incredible heel, but done the right way, I think you can have a tremendous babyface. You know, he's something that, like, the fans, I think, could naturally get behind. You know, I think Gunther is just such a straight-laced, like, he gives it to you as it is kind of guy. And I think the fans really respect that.
And he has yet to put on a bad match.
Exactly. And I think that's what's going to carry him to being a babyface, is the fact that you know you're going to get a great match from Gunther. And he's the perfect guy to be the world champion right now.
Because you could argue he gave Randy Orton the best match of his career.
Man, that's really high praise. I mean, Randy Orton's had tremendous matches. Great matches over his career. So I don't know if it's the best, but it's certainly something that it's probably the best that I've seen from Randy Orton maybe the last 5 years, 5-6 years, you know, considering he had that back injury that kept him out a year, you know. But Randy Orton looks tremendous. I mean, the guy can still put on a banger. He's older now, you know, he's not quite the same performer he was, but he's still a tremendous performer, which is saying a lot to how good he was back then, you know. But yeah, Gunther successfully defends his title against Randy Orton. The two share a handshake at the end of the match, so that was really cool to see. Yeah, definitely. Any final thoughts on the pay-per-view?
Overall, I just thought from top to bottom, the cards was solid. I know some people are complaining that the 5-match cards are too little, but as we can see in the cards that they've had 5 matches, mm-hmm. all the quality of matches were really good.
They were great.
That's why I like the 5-match card, because it gives all the matches more time.
Yep.
And I think it just provides for a better night of wrestling overall. So overall, I was very, very happy and satisfied with Bash in Berlin.
Exactly.
I definitely thought it exceeded expectations.
Exactly. Yeah, no, this is the Triple H formula right here. He started this when he took over NXT. The 5-match formula, you know, it gives guys the time to, and girls, to really just perfect their craft in the ring, you know, and give the audience and tell a story. Give the audience what they want, but really do their job as professional wrestlers. So hats off to Triple H for bringing that formula to the main roster. And this has worked out really, really well, comparing and having it with the crowds that are just so hungry for wrestling right now.
Oh, yeah. Like they keep saying, WWE is the hottest ticket in town right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is, because they set another record for the highest grossing arena event in the history of WWE.
Exactly.
They're just killing it. They're, like, on a whole different level now.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
They're a whole different company from 2 years ago.
Exactly. No, totally different. I mean, it's just in terms of, like, all the business that they're doing right now, all the revenue that they're bringing in, the fact that the new ownership has done a tremendous job at utilizing everything, it's such a different company from what it was 2 years ago under Vince. So, I mean, hats off to WWE and Triple H, really.
Really stepped up. Yeah, really, really stepped up their game, you know.
Exactly.
It feels like old school. I know I wasn't around in that time, but it kind of gives off old school, like when WWE was in the Attitude Era, where everybody was tuning in to wrestling.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. No, it really does. I mean, the Attitude Era was different in itself just because of all the mainstream attention they were getting, a lot compared with the WCW. But this is on a whole nother level, you know. You could argue that they're doing the best business ever, really. You know, so it's definitely a great, unique time to be a fan.
Yeah, and I know one thing Triple H has said, he really wants WWE to be more global, and I feel like he's been doing that really well all these international PLEs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so far, all the international PLEs have been really solid.
Exactly. I mean, my gosh, I mean, they were not doing anything like what they're doing right now few years ago, 10 years ago, you know, they're all the pay-per-views were stateside. And yeah, it was just a totally different product in terms of like the visuals that you see with like the same entrance design, the same matchups, the same cards, you know, the same kind of crowds. It was all just the same under Vince. Now everything's totally different.
Yeah, it definitely feels like there's more freedom now.
Exactly.
More free reign, and I feel like that's overall great for wrestling because you give these wrestlers, you know, free reign and more creative control. They can put out some great stuff.
Exactly. All right. But let's go on to finish up our top 20 theme songs of all time. Yes. All right. So last week we had a whole list of different theme songs.
We did 20 through 10
mm-hmm.
last week.
Yeah.
Today we do our final 9. My list changed a little bit, so.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Start us off. What's your number 9?
My number 9, and people are probably going to say this should be a little higher, and I don't blame them. But I have Batista's theme song, I Walk Alone.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one. I definitely think that's a top 10 theme song, like, regardless. Mm-hmm. Like, you could move it a little higher, but yeah. I feel like it deserves a spot in the top 10 because that song is just, like, iconic with Batista.
Yeah.
And, like, every time you hear that song, it just gets you pumped up and hyped up. And I just love his entrance when he does the...
Yeah.
Like
the pyro,
I just think it's great.
And Xavier Woods could sing that song off the top of your lungs. You seen that video?
Yeah,
it's tremendous. If you haven't seen Xavier Woods sing "I Walk Alone," Batista's theme song from WrestleMania 35, yeah, it's great.
What is your number 9, Mike?
My number 9 is Stone Cold's main theme song. So. When Stone Cold became Stone Cold Steve Austin, he had this kind of different tempoed theme, different bass in his theme, and it was a good one. But in 98, they changed the theme, and it's basically stuck with him throughout. The Stone Cold theme song is just iconic, you know, with the glass shattering, the rhythm, the guitar. You know, what's interesting about that theme song is Austin went to Jim Johnston, the composer, at the time, and he goes, I want to model something off of Rage Against the Machine. Bulls on Parade. That's the song that he wanted to compare it off to. And so, okay, Jim Johnston listened to that song, and he came back with something that was not like Bulls on Parade, but something a little bit different, and that's what you got with this theme song. So it's tremendous work by Jim Johnston. You can play it in your car. You can play it at the gym. You can play it anywhere. Such a badass theme song.
It's a jam, yeah.
Exactly.
That's a solid number 9. Mm-hmm. And moving on to my number 8 is I Have Line in the Sand,
ooh,
Evolution's theme song.
Okay.
And what I think is arguably the greatest theme song for a faction, like, ever.
Evolution!
It's just so synonymous with Evolution. It's so iconic, and I really feel like it embodies each member of Evolution.
It does. It really does. From Triple H being the leader, Orton, Batista, Flair. Such a good one. I've always imagined like going to Las Vegas with like buddies and playing that theme song in our nice clothes.
Well, we have an opportunity next year in WrestleMania Vegas.
We'll see. Yeah, definitely. But that's such a good one. I think that was on my list last week. But it's a good Motorhead did such a tremendous job with that theme.
Yeah, Motorhead doesn't. Honestly, Motorhead hasn't produce any bad WWE theme songs. They've all been good.
From, you know, all the Triple H's theme songs, really. Which gets me to my, let's see here.
Number 8,
which is another Motorhead WWE theme song. The first one that you ever heard was The Game, Triple H. Yeah, before that, Triple H had a theme called My Time, which was a pretty great song, considering it kind of fit his character.
Back then it did, yeah.
Back then, you know, Triple H had never had the WWF Championship, and so it was his time to become champion and be the guy in the company. But a couple of years later, they changed the theme song, and it was something that you're like, oh, damn. It was a different tempo, a lot more guitar, a lot more rock, but it fit Triple H. It fit him. It fit that character, you know, the cerebral assassin, The Game, you know. Just incredible work by Motorhead to really put together a theme song that just fits Triple H's character so well. And it's one of those songs that if somebody had never heard it before, you wouldn't think, oh, this is a wrestler's theme song. You would just think this is a classic rock song. You know, you would think, my God, like, you know, this is something like, you know, from, if you didn't even know the band, you'd be like, oh, is this AC/DC or is this, you know,
Metallica? Yeah,
exactly. You know, but Motorhead did such a fabulous job putting together that theme. And so there's been a lot of usage of that theme song in terms of memes and stuff like that now. It's a great theme song. You know, that's all I could say.
It is, yeah. And moving on to my number 7. I know I said I love Line in the Sand, and I think it's arguably the greatest Faction theme song, but I have this one just, like, slightly above it. It is more so because when I started watching wrestling, I kind of saw more of DX, so I have Are You Ready?
Okay.
And that's just because, like, when I started watching wrestling, I grew up seeing, like, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, like, as DX and seeing, like, how hot and over they were with the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I feel like their theme song just got everybody really hyped up and
absolutely
pumped up, especially with them with getting the glow sticks, throwing them out to the crowd, and then the X chop pyro. I just think that song is just so iconic. And
I mean, I don't think of the 2006 version of DX as DX. Like, that version of DX was just not it for me. When I think of DX, I think of 98 DX. Triple H,
whatever,
Road Dogs, yeah. China, Road Dog, Billy Gunn, China, X-Pac. Those guys together, I mean, that's what I think of DX as the Faction versus, you know, challenging the Nation of Domination. That's what I think of DX, you know, getting girls in the audience to flash their tits, all that crazy stuff that they did, invading WCW, you know, going to the gate, having fans lined up outside WCW, fans that were going to attend Nitro, and then basically, like, interviewing them saying, hey, WCW sucks, right? They're like, yeah, WCW sucks. Fuck WCW. It's all about WWF. Yeah.
I do remember them coming out in the tank. Know. I remember that segment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people didn't know if this was legit or real.
That was the thing about DX. They toyed with the borderline of reality and fiction.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They blended the lines, like, really well.
Exactly. Then years later, they brought back DX with the original Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Just wasn't the same, man. There was more comedy at that point. But when I think of DX, I think of the 98 version of DX. All right. Moving on here.
To number... Oh, your number 7.
Yeah, my number 7.
Your number 7.
My number 7. Well, we're sitting down at a table right now. You can say I am head of the table. Acknowledge me. Get your finger up and acknowledge me.
No, I acknowledge that you are not my tribal chief.
You acknowledge that I am your tribal chief because that is my number 7, head of the table, Roman. Oh, no, as Paul Heyman would say it. Let's see. Go back into my memory bank here. How would he say it again?
The Rain.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, that's Brock Lesnar. Anyway.
No, he did use it for Roman, though.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, as his wise man would say, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. I love that theme song. It's such a classic now. Classic in the terms of stuff that's been made over the last few years. You know, WWE music is such garbage now, to be honest.
That's interesting that it's in your top 10. Cause I don't have it in my top 20. It just like, personal, like, reasons. Cause it's a great theme song, don't admit. It's one of Def Rebel's better theme songs that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, all most theme songs today are just very basic and generic. And you don't even know who's who until they come out.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, as good as... As great as WWE themes were under Jim Johnston for years and years and years, and as good as the company is now in terms of doing business, the music in WWE is such garbage. Like, they can't figure out what they want to do with the music. They had brought back Sheamus' old music, Lobsterhead, and completely just got rid of it within a couple weeks, and they're changing everyone's theme songs. It goes from bad to worse, I feel like. It's not an improvement. But Head of the Table is such a good one. In fact, I went to a Laker game you know, this year, and they started playing that song. And then, like, a few people in the audience, most people didn't know what it was, but a few people in the audience I saw were raising their ones. They're putting up those ones.
Those people are...
They acknowledge.
Yeah, those people are dumb. I don't acknowledge Roman Reigns as my tribal chief, nor will I ever. Better. No.
He's your tribal chief.
John Cena is my tribal chief, okay?
He's your tribal
chief? John Cena is my tribal chief.
He's your tribal chief, and you will acknowledge that he is my number seven head of the table. If you haven't worked out to that song, do it. Or put it in your car. Okay. Listen to it, because it's a good one.
All right, whatever. Moving on to my number six. It's two, because I couldn't really differentiate between the two, because I think both theme songs are great. But I have King of Kings and The Game for Triple H.
Oh, you're doing two and one?
I'm doing two. I can't differentiate. Separate these two. I think they're both great and synonymous. Especially because when I started watching wrestling, I grew up with him coming out to The Game. But I do feel like The King of Kings more embodies of, like, the cerebral assassin character.
It does.
The King of Kings.
It does.
And, I mean, both songs are great. I can't pick between the two. That's why I combine them together as one.
I mean, by the same band, so I'll allow it. Okay? Yeah, I'll allow it.
You'll allow it, okay. Well, this is my show, so.
Yes?
Yeah, this is my show.
Uh-huh. You know what? And we're recording off of my stuff.
Yeah, but it's still my show.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tell the fans your number six.
My number six. All right. My number six here, if I can go back onto my phone, is Darkseid, The Undertaker. So, people may not remember this song if you haven't listened to it, because it was only his theme for maybe half a year, if that, maybe less than that. But Darkseid, go on to Spotify, go on to YouTube. Type in Darkseid Undertaker theme. That is the most badass Undertaker theme you will ever hear in your life. Just from the guitar riffs to the structure of the song. It's nothing like his Graveyard Song or the Dead Man Song that you have heard over the years. This thing is freaking badass.
Was this during his time as Ministry of Darkness?
This is actually, it's pre that. So...
Like right before?
Right before that, you know? So, in 1998, after he was feuding with Kane, he moved on to Stone Cold. He started using this theme song. I think it was like Judgment Day, 1998, where you could look it up, and he has the pyro going off in the background. It is an incredible theme. And Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler are just losing their mind because of the pyro going off in that theme. But the song mixed with the pyro and his entrance, it is... chef's kiss to that theme song, because they should have never got rid of that. That thing is so good. In fact, when he was returning, when he did that Boneyard match against AJ Styles, in my head I was like, oh, that'd be perfect, because it's kind of like, it's like a mix between Dead Man and like American Badass. You know, it's like heavy rock, but it's also like you have the gongs going on. Man, I wish they would have used that theme. So bad.
And, you know, in the few appearances we've seen of The Undertaker since,
yep,
he's even says he's done as being the Dead Man.
Exactly.
We see more of, like, the American Badass. But exactly. we still get that mix of the Dead Man.
All right.
Moving on to the top five. My number five is The Cult of Personality for CM Punk. You know,
Oh, my gosh.
This song is just... so iconic and synonymous with Punk. It fits his character now. And I know a lot of people will say that they like his first theme song, This Fire Burns, which is another great theme song, but Cult of Personality is just on a whole nother level, especially you have the fans singing along to it.
Exactly.
If you have fans singing along to your song, you know you have a great theme if the fans are singing along to it.
They tweaked it a little bit, but it's still the same song.
It's still the same song, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good one. That one's on my list down the line. All right, my number five is Voodoo Child, performed by Jimi Hendrix, but for Hulk Hogan. If you've never listened to Voodoo Child, it's... oh, God. So, when Hogan joined the NWO in 1996, everyone thinks of the classic NWO theme song, but Hogan wouldn't come out to that theme song, really. He would only come out to that song in WCW with the group. individually, when Hogan would have a one-to-one match or would come out for a match, he would use Voodoo Child. If you've never listened to Voodoo Child, you've heard it probably. But it is such a good one for the Hollywood Hulk Hogan character. The solo where Hogan's doing the things with his arms, the air guitar. That's where it is. And so when he came back to WWE in 2002, he was again using that name song all the way up to 2003, I think. Yeah. So Voodoo Child is such a classic Jimi Hendrix song, but it fits the Hollywood Hulk Hogan theme character to a T.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on to my number four. He's the one guy. He's my GOAT. The one guy that has two top five theme songs. My number four is his old Dr. Thugonomics.
Whoa, really?
Basic Thugonomics.
Basic Thugonomics?
That song is just, man, that song has bar after bar after bar.
Really?
It's no misses for Cena. He was in his bag. He was cooking. And I just, yeah. When you blast it in the car, I'm literally rapping it word for word.
It's a good hip-hop song, yeah, for sure. It's a great rap song. Definitely. No, I'm not mocking it, man. That's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when I started watching wrestling, John Cena was like one of the first guys I saw, and I really liked, you know, what he stood for, and I was just like, you know, I really like this guy. And over time, I started to learn more about him, and he just really became like somebody I idolized and looked up to, and, you know, he's the reason I'm still in love with wrestling today. And, you know, I have met him before.
Incredible,
it was just like, it was by far the greatest day of my life, the greatest experience I've ever had, because they always say you never want to meet your heroes because they're not what they turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was everything I expected and more.
Exactly.
John Cena is just an amazing human being. Sad to see him, you know, have his farewell tour, but I'm honored that I get to see his last few matches. And so,
exactly.
Yeah. And believe it or not, the Doctor of Thugonomics Cena is my favorite version of John Cena.
So, really?
I've told you this. Okay. Yeah, the Doctor of Thugonomics is my favorite Cena.
Because it's the Cena that you first saw?
The Cena I first saw was like a mix when he was like the chain gang soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a mix. It's when he was still doing like, you know, like this hand motion. But
like the word life hand motion?
Yeah, okay. But I after seeing like his old stuff as a Doctor of Thugonomics, just seeing like how ruthless he was, and it felt like he was truly in his element as that character. Because he's even said it before in interviews. When he was a Doctor of Thugonomics, he says that's more of who he is in real life.
Yeah, well, interesting. Yeah.
So, anyways, on to your number four.
All right, my number four is another good one, man. I have this guy twice on my list. But Stone Cold's Glass Shatters version by Disturbed, it's a mix, like, I know I'm going back to these rock songs, but Glass Shatters is probably the best Stone Cold theme song that there was, because of just the intensity of that song, what it brought to Stone Cold at that time. It just took that character to another level, I feel like, you know?
He came out to that at WrestleMania, his last WrestleMania against The Rock, right?
He came out to that at 17.
17, okay. Yeah, yeah, I remember he came out to that against one of his matches against The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
No, that one's a good one. That's funny, because going into my number three, I actually have – I did put Stone Cold because, like, his songs just – all of his songs are synonymous. All of his songs are iconic.
Yeah.
Since he turned into the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
I just put Stone Cold, like, if you – had me pick one, I would say probably what you had, Glass Shatters. If not that one, then the one he currently has.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like that's the one more people are accustomed to. That's the one more people know.
Exactly.
So, but like, every time you hear the Glass Shatter, just gets like the loudest pop out of like anybody.
It really does. If you haven't listened to that WrestleMania 17 entrance, it is an iconic entrance.
And if you want to hear a good, loud, classic pop, check out when Stone Cold returned on Raw to help Mankind beat The Rock for the WWE Championship.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
That's the loud... I think that's the loudest pop in the history of the company.
Stone Cold's pops during that time, it was unheard of.
It was a whole nother level. That dude was just, like, on a whole nother level.
Yeah. I mean, it was to the point where the buildings were shaking. That's how loud those buildings were getting. The fans were getting. Yeah. Incredible. But, yeah. So, that's your number three?
Yeah. So, rounding out the top...
All right, our top three here.
Well, you got to get to your third.
Do, na, do, 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 do.
You have the
do, 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 do.
Time is now at number
three. Time is up. My time is now. John Cena's theme song is my third top song.
Your third. Wow, okay.
Yeah. The Time Is Now by John Cena, or My Time Is Now, whatever you want to call it.
It works as either.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can put that song on any day, any time. I'd be bopping to it.
Just just ask this guy. He plays it in the car. I literally just, like, I was, like, kind of dozing off in the car yesterday. As soon as he played that song, I got up and just started, like, jamming.
And he didn't know that WWE kind of tweaked with the song a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed the You Can't See Me album version is different from the WWE release version.
Yep. So the album version's intro is a lot
fainter. The beat drops different.
It does. And the song that he currently uses has a lot louder intro, and it has a lot more bass to it.
Yeah, so moving on to my number two. With this might come as a shock to you. That's not my number one.
Okay.
The Time Is Now is my number two.
Really?
You'll see who I have as my number one. And you'll
what?
You'll see why.
Okay.
I know this guy's in total shock that what? I don't have. I
thought John Cena was gonna be number one all the way for you.
He's shocked. I know. I'm full of surprises sometimes. So.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I love Cena. I love his theme song. You'll never hear me say one bad thing about Cena. I won't. I'm the loudest guy. Like, when we went to WrestleMania in Hollywood, with Cena's music hit, here I am like a 22 years old, and I'm just, as soon as his music hit, I'm pretty sure I was like the loudest person in my area.
Exactly.
There's probably people looking at me be like, dude, you're like an adult. Why the hell are you like popping for Cena so loud?
Nah, man. Nobody's looking at you. Everyone was having a great time. All right.
You're number two.
My number two. The drums are rolling right now. It is cooking. The Rock's Hollywood Rock song. Mm. Hollywood Rock theme song. As far as Rock's... Exactly. As far as Rock's theme songs are going, the Hollywood Rock theme song is just top notch. It's so subtle. It's so smooth the way the guitars are. There's just basically one guitar in it, the way it's played. But just, I know we've said this with every theme song, really, but to construct a theme song that fit the Hollywood Rock character, something just with ambiance and just coolness and just subtlety. If you haven't listened to that theme song, you really have to, because it just puts you in a certain mood, really. It's like, ooh, yeah, I feel good about myself.
And he even brought it back with the final boss character.
Exactly.
You know, meshing the intro of his current theme and then the smooth transition in the Hollywood Rock theme. And it's just like, remember, people were losing their minds when they're like, he brought it back. He brought it back.
Exactly. So, yep. Oh, definitely a good one.
All right, moving on to my number one song.
Your number one. Here we go, baby.
The Undertaker's theme song.
Really?
The current one with the gongs, the one where he comes out with the...
Rest in Peace?
Yeah, Rest in Peace. And the reason it's my number one is because it's like, when you think of, WrestleMania, you can't think of WrestleMania without thinking of The Undertaker. The greatest performer in the history of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit forget his two losses at WrestleMania. That dude was on a whole nother level when he came to WrestleMania. He had some of the best matches of his career at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, that song is so synonymous that it gives you chills.
It does.
It gives you chills once you hear that gong, and it just makes you feel like, you know, it makes you feel a certain way, you know, just, like, just seeing The Undertaker come out, the aura he gives off is just unmatched.
Unbelievable. I mean, look, I can't dispute that because Undertaker has the greatest entrance of all time.
That's why that's another reason why I have it at number one, is because it's like, you have all these great entrances, and then there's The Undertaker.
Exactly.
There's The Undertaker.
Exactly. You cannot dispute that. Undertaker's entrances at WrestleMania, and basically any time throughout his career, his entrances were always top-notch. And so, can't dispute that, man. All right, my number one. Cult of Personality.
Okay, okay.
It's one of my favorite songs ever now. I feel like the first time I heard it, you know, when he came back from his, I don't know, was it suspension or whatever, when he quit WWE in 2011.
Oh, yeah, after he beat Cena for the title at Money in the Bank, and he took we didn't see him for a little bit.
Yeah, like 2 weeks or whatever it was. Came back with that song. I had never heard that song before, and I was like, ooh, because at the time, I loved The Fire Burns. You know, that song was amazing. And I wasn't expecting, if he were to come back, for him to be with that theme song, but Cult of Personality took me a little bit of time to get used to it, but just over time, it's such a good, great song. Great theme song for CM Punk. CM Punk's my favorite wrestler right now. I can play that song any time of the day. Twice on Sundays. Cult of Personality, man. Just, man, banger. Banger. Exactly.
Mr. Straight Edge. The Second City Saint.
Exactly. But yeah.
Yeah, you know, I can't argue with it. I know you were a little surprised to hear that as my number five.
Exactly.
It's just because, like I said, there's just so many great theme songs, but, like, the Cult of Personality just hits. It just hits different because you know how you have the iconic glass shatter, the gong, the if you smell, and the trumpets.
Yeah.
Now Punk Static is up there as one of the as soon as you hear it, the crowd goes ballistic.
And heel or babyface, the guy gets a tremendous pop every single time he gets out. The fact that AEW let him go is such a, it's crazy.
And I was just recently telling you that he hasn't even been back in WWE a full year yet.
No, he hasn't.
And it's already more memorable than his 2 year run in AEW.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's had the feud of the year. Mm-hmm. He just had one of the best matches of his career.
I mean, he had the feud of the year in 2021 versus MJF, but I mean that was pretty much, you know, the only thing fans remember besides Brawl Out, you know. But yeah, this was a great podcast.
It was, yeah. I really think we got the juices going, the juices flowing, and I like how it became more of a conversation.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
definitely. Felt more natural. So thank you guys for tuning in. Spread the word. Share it on social media. Tell your friends. Tell your mama.
Exactly. Tell your grandmas. If you you're listening to this, just know that I really appreciate you. All jokes aside. but yeah, thank you guys for listening to the Lace Em Up podcast. Thank you guys for listening to Wrestling with Brian Hernandez. I just, you know, if you're listening to this, you are tremendously appreciated and loved, and I can't thank you guys enough. Any final thoughts, Ryan?
Yeah, no, just again, appreciate it. You know, joking aside, like, no, we really do appreciate you guys. When we do say we love you, like, we mean it, like. You know, if you hear us, like, kind of bantering like that, it's just us joking around because that's how our friendship is. But, yeah, no, really, we really appreciate you guys tuning in. This wouldn't be possible without you guys. You know, we want to make the Lace Em Up podcast go big. We want to do something special with this, and we want you guys to be part of that journey with us. So just thank you for tuning in.
Exactly. Until next time, be well, be safe.